It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The family of Jordan Edwards joined community advocates today to demand accountability from the Dallas County District Attorney's Office as it investigates Jordan's death. This followed a private meeting the family had with District Attorney Faith Johnson. Family Attorney Lee Merritt says the Edwards are hopeful former Balch Springs Police Officer Roy Oliver will be convicted.
It's very difficult, as you all know, to even see a police officer charged, let alone convicted. We plan to see it through until the end. We're not going to accept half measures. We're not going to accept excuses or politicking.
On April 29th, Oliver, who is white, shot into a moving car, killing Jordan, a black 15-year-old. He was unarmed. Oliver was fired and arrested last week on a murder charge. Community advocates are calling on the district attorney to identify other officers who were involved in the shooting and to release video evidence of the incident. They're also requesting an investigation from the U.S. Department of Justice. Family attorneys say a federal investigation has been opened. Earlier this week, the League of United Latin American Citizens filed a lawsuit seeking to stop the Texas ban on so-called sanctuary cities. The law, which takes effect in September, allows police officers to ask about the immigration status of people they detain. Local officials who refuse to enforce federal immigration laws could be jailed or fined. LULAC attorney Luis Vera says the law is unconstitutional because it takes away local rights.
Supreme Court has ruled consistently that the 10th Amendment reserves the rights to not only the states, but to the individuals. The individuals have been interpreted to mean the local communities. The local rights of the communities to how they're going to spend their tax dollars, the local governments have never been intended to be immigration officers.
Governor Greg Abbott defends the law, saying the U.S. Supreme Court has approved key provisions in the legislation. President Trump and Texas Senator Ted Cruz spent a lot of last year's presidential campaign talking about the U.S. and Mexico and the wall Trump promised to build. Beto O'Rourke is a Democrat from the border, El Paso, and he hopes to take Cruz's seat in the Senate next year. Today on Think, airing this week from NPR in Washington, O'Rourke told Chris Boyd the debate about the border is misguided.
People should know that there has never been a terrorist or a terrorist act or a terrorist plot that has used the southern border, our border with Mexico, to attack the United States. Just in case someone should try to do that, we are ready, we are prepared, and thanks to the excellent men and women who work in the Border Patrol, we will be ready for that. But in focusing additional resources and militarization and walls and money and men and women where we don't have a problem, it by definition takes our eye off and resources away from where we do have problems, where we do have challenges to our homeland and our national security. And so I think there's both the cost of wasting money and then there's the cost of leaving this country less protected than it should be by focusing resources where they are not needed.
This episode of Think Rears tonight at 9, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. Follow the Think Team's Week in Washington on social media with the hashtag ThinkNDC. Now to this week's Artist Spotlight, our series profiling North Texas creatives. North Texas has a choreographer who's been knighted by the French government for her work with Baroque dance. Catherine Turosi runs the New York Baroque Dance Company, but she lives in Dallas. As Art and Seek's Rome Weeks reports, she makes the 18th century live again on stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Baroque. We associate the 17th and 18th centuries with powdered wigs, splendid music, and ornate architecture. Talk about ornate, the Baroque invented opera. Yet for centuries afterwards, early Baroque operas by Handel, Rameau, and the British composer Henry Purcell were rarely performed. They now seem too static, too ornamental. In fact, when these operas were rediscovered the past 50 years, staging them became an issue. What did their original dances even look like? The ballet we know now, that didn't evolve until later. And today in dance schools, very little before ballet is even taught.
This is a huge stumbling block for historical dance because, seriously, dance has not had a long history of intellectual curiosity.
That's choreographer Catherine Turosi. She's internationally acclaimed for recreating and reinventing Baroque dance.
Let's say that we come in from over here. Well, can you be as tall as you can be? Because she's only 5'2". Okay.
That's Turosi rehearsing Henry Purcell's The Fairy Queen from 1692. It's planned for this fall with the Dallas Bach Society, directed by Taurosi's husband, James Richmond, playing the harpsichord. Baroque dances can seem strange to us with their minuets and masks and their hoop skirts that hide the dancers' legs. But Taurosi was drawn to the Baroque because it was its own world. It was the age of the Enlightenment, an age that organized everything along the same clear lines. Government, astronomy, society, art. Baroque ballets embody that worldview.
So in order to understand why a dancer moves his hand like this, I need to understand the whole cosmos behind it.
Yes. And I can teach you if you'd like to learn. I know, it's crazy, but that was the basis of their performance style.
Taurosi was also drawn to historic dance because when she was 13 in Cleveland, her dreams of ballet got burned. A dancer from the American Ballet Theater declared Taurosi would never have the long, tall physique choreographer George Balanchine adored.
Then my teacher translated that, you will never have a career in ballet. I basically cried for a year. My parents really had no idea what was going on.
So, at Ohio State, Taurosi eventually turned to researching dance that was pre-ballet. In the 1980s, she won two NEA grants to go to London and Paris and search through archives for historic dance notations, for diaries, memoirs, paintings, anything to help her re-envision Baroque dances.
Baroque ballet basically went to sleep for a couple hundred years, and then it was revived, and Catherine, of course, is responsible for a lot of that.
Glenda Norcross teaches ballet at Brookhaven College. She performs with the New York Baroque Dance Company, the ensemble Taurosi co-founded 40 years ago. Now, all this immersion in the Baroque can sound a little like an artsy version of Civil War reconstructions, but Taurosi often creates original dances and collaborations. She recently assisted on a video with Lil Buck, the master of that snaky form of street dancing called jukin. And for all its formality, Taurosi says, Baroque dance actually encourages improvisation.
It has the excitement of jazz.
For their work with the French Baroque, Taurosi and Richmond were knighted by France. Officially, they are chevaliers. In 1995, they moved to Dallas when Richmond became director of the Bach Society. Taurosi's ensemble continues to perform at Lincoln Center and festivals throughout Europe. Yet after 40 years, she confesses a little bewilderment. Her New York Baroque Dance Company remains one of the few professional ensembles in the field. For all Taurosi's acclaim, Baroque dance remains something of a curiosity.
It may never change. This might be it. I don't know, but I'm going to still work.
True. There's the Fairy Queen this fall, and Taurosi still finds new ways to bring the Baroque world into ours. She has a 2-year project developing a dance component for a planetarium in New Mexico. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
See a video of Catherine Taurosi in rehearsal at artandseek.org/spotlight. While you're there, check out the more than 40 other profiles of North Texas artists featured in the Artist Spotlight series. And finally, after months of negotiations, it appears significant progress has been made in fixing the troubled Dallas Police and Fire Pension Fund. State Senator Royce West of Dallas released a statement about a half hour ago. West says that parties have agreed to concepts that will resolve major sticking points. The next step is to draft language and then hold a hearing next week. The pension fund could run out of money within a decade if changes aren't made. State legislators have been working on reforms. Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings is speaking at this moment. He says it's an agreement in principle, and there's more work to do, but he's confident that the city can fix the pension problems. For the evening, there is a severe thunderstorm watch for Tyler and the surrounding areas until 10 tonight. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies elsewhere. A chance for storms and showers with a low around 63. It's currently 6:30. This is KERA News.